You want to find out what the heck's actually going on? Our guy, Tim Kawakami, the TK Pod, SF Standard, River Island's guest line, joining us now on Willard and Tibbs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Tim, what's cooking?
Hey, I was just kind of waiting to see what the 49ers can finally put together a final roster. I don't know. That might never happen, but they've got some moves they still got to make. There's a regular season coming up, and it's been kind of fun just seeing how fluid it all is. This is a sign of a sort of unsettled team right now, but we'll see. Maybe put together for the early part of the season, but it's definitely unsettled.
Let's talk about Juwan, obviously, first here, Tim. And what would you say to a person, and I'll raise my hand as one of them, what would you say to a person who says, I don't believe that this injury is a thing anymore, actually? It's not about that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I said sort of got an inkling that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch might sort of agree with you. I think from the beginning there was an injury and there was also a contract dispute. It was both things. What percentage of what side is, you know, more true than not? It's probably had a sliding scale as time has gone on, but I don't think there's much dispute that it's part of the reason why he's not practicing, or at least is influencing whether he would want to press himself coming back to practice. I don't know. As Jim Harbaugh would say, I'm not inside his head or his legs, so I'm not sure, but I think you can kind of lead into that one. But also, you know, if you're a player and you think you're underpaid and you have a slight injury, you probably aren't as motivated in the world to, you know, go out there and maybe re-injure it and make it worse. You know, this is a pretty big season for Juwan Jennings, but on the other side, it's a pretty big season to want to play, right? You would think you'd want to play. And I think that's the 49ers' frustration. It's all parts of it. It's all a mix. You know, they have to be sort of careful and, you know, understand that there are injuries in the NFL. You don't want to push a player out there if he's hurt. But strong suspicion is that the contract, if there's a new contract, that calf would feel a lot better, pretty easy. Like Michael Parsons back, I think, feels a lot better. about an hour ago, after being traded from the Cowboys to the Packers, he was claiming that's why he couldn't practice. So it's all part of it. I think everybody understands. You know, Ayuk was the same thing last year. I think even more of a mysterious injury, and they basically challenged him that he was healthy at the end there, and you got to get back to practicing. And then guess what? New contract, he was back practicing. This is a similar thing. They're just not going to pay him as much as they paid Ayuk. It's just period. So it's different in that way. And I think they have the leverage on Juwan, and we'll see what happens in the next 3-4 days.
Have you gotten any sense, either on or off the record, as to what the ask is from Juwan or where the 49ers are sitting? It seems to me, Tim, that these two sides are pretty far apart, but have you gotten any inkling as to what Juwan and his camp are asking for?
Well, I mean, what you hear, not from the camp, but from, you know, NFL circles, is that it's high. You know, it's above 20 is what I've heard, and maybe a lot above 20 a year, to put him in the top 20 or so of receivers in that realm. 49ers have done it before with Brandon Ayuk. So, like, there is precedent for lifting a guy way up on the higher ranks of the receiver salaries. What I've heard from the 49ers side in the air on that one is that they don't want to do anything. Like, they are negotiating. I think there have been numbers exchanged, but they just redid his deal last year. And that's before he got 977 yards receiving. That's before he was the, you know, first receiver, basically, last year when Ayuk got hurt. That's before a lot of other things happened. But, you know, their chance is, we keep doing you every year, we're going to come back and do it again, and then we're going to tell Colton McKivitz, we're going to tell Trent Williams, we're going to tell, you know, Brock Purdy, into, you know, whatever. So you understand that precedent that they don't want to break. But, you know, it's everything. If you ask me what the dollars are, I would tell you, just from my opinion, is that it's not close. It's not even close. Now, at some point, you got to either make a deal or not. And the 49ers want him on the field on week one. And Juwan Jennings probably doesn't want to go on injury reserve or get deactivated or whatever could happen in the next few days if he's not practicing. But everything I've heard is, like, it's like he wants a lot and the 49ers are offering very little. I'll put it that way, if I could generalize it like that. And I think we can all kind of write in what the money terms are based on that, but it's far apart. I've been hearing this, I've been writing this for several weeks now, right? It's not close, and it's pretty clear it's not close still.
Tim Kawakami with us on Willard and Dibs. Okay, Tim, this is all really interesting because here's where my mind went yesterday, and maybe it pairs with what you just said that the Niners are thinking. I'm thinking much beyond this year and wondering, with two other first-round draft picks at the position, one of them having already been paid, plus two young guys they really like in Cowing and Watkins, Robinson on a two-year deal, do they even want to be in the Juwan Jennings business beyond this year?
I think I've been saying for a little while, I don't think he's going to be on the team next year. I think they want him this year. And maybe Kyle Shanahan has a different opinion of that because he has been good for them. He does all the physical things that they want out of receiver, and he can make, big catches. That's a nice combination for them. But I think they're tired of this with the receivers, frankly. They traded Debo. There certainly were contractual stuff with Debo. There was a trade request from Debo. They obviously went through a painful thing with Ayuk last year, which they, a deal that they do not like. They regret it almost immediately. And then he got hurt, did not play well before he got hurt. So just to have this happen again, I think really puts them on the feeling that they don't need to be in the Juwan Jennings business much longer. But I think they want him on the team this year. Who's going to play receiver for them, if it's not him? You have Ricky Pearsall, who has not been through a healthy season. I think they really think a lot of Ricky Pearsall. Obviously, he was a former first-round pick, somebody that it fits what Shanahan likes in his offense, but you don't know. And then you need other people. And you can believe whatever you want to out of young players, or Russell Gage, or, Sky Moore, or whoever, if they get Kendrick Bourne back. But, these are not, ace receivers. These are not studs. I think they want Juwan on this team, but they don't know. There's a line here that they don't want him that bad, where they're going to bust up president and pay him $22 million. That's not happening. They got to the point with Ayuk where they had him on the field. They just had to have Brandon Ayuk on the team last year, so they paid it, and they regretted it. And then he got hurt. So I think Juwan's suffering from some of that, where it's a separate situation, but they don't ever want to go down that road again. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to be on the team next year. And, who knows how much longer he's going to be on the team this year. If he's going to be on the field, I don't know. But, yeah, there is a great weariness, and you could probably put stronger words on that from the 49ers side on Juwan Jennings and the whole wide receiver thing. And he's getting the brunt of it, but he also redid his deal last year. And I don't know if they told him last year, we're not doing this again. I don't know if they did, but they're basically saying it now. We are not doing this 1 year after you just did it. If you wanted to get redone now, you shouldn't have done it last year. I don't know if these words are being said, but that's the implication, certainly by the behavior and by the complete sit stalemate right now.
Yeah, and the feel also that I got yesterday, Tim, is that they're not trading him either. So either they tried a little bit and they didn't get offers that they thought were in their liking, but I was hearing from John Lynch yesterday, we're not interested in doing that.
Yeah, so they said about Debo too, right? So, who knows? You say it until you do it.
Right.
But my point on Juwan is, I don't know what they get for Juwan Jennings. 28 years old, calf injuries recently. Certainly not a fast player. He's important to the 49ers, but would he be that important to other teams? I think they'd get a fifth-round pick, maybe a fifth-round
right.
pick for him. So if you know that going in, that then why even have the conversation? Because it's really not that big a deal. You're not changing your draft capital, your arsenal very much if you get a sixth-round pick for Juwan Jennings. So maybe you don't even have the discussion. Eventually, if they're ready to offload from him forever, then yes, you take whatever you can get. But I think they can always do that. It's just not where teams are calling them up and saying, "Oh my God, we gotta get this guy from you." That's like they were for Ayuk. Frankly, the teams were calling for Ayuk. It wasn't knock you down over with a first round pick and what else can we throw you? But it was something. Teams were willing to give up a second round pick or so. Same thing with Debo a couple of years ago. That's just not Juwan's market. It's this weird kind of thing where he's valuable to what the 49ers do in some, in some level. We know what it is, but he's not that valuable to other teams. He's just not. And Debo was sort of similar, right? Even when he was racking up all those run yards and receiving yards, but he was getting banged up. And what's he really worth to another team? If they could have got a first round pick for Debo a couple of years ago, I think they would have done it. And nobody was offering that. So it just becomes this. He's certainly valuable to the 49ers and was valuable last year. But, of course, he was wide receiver one on a 6-11 team last year. You know, it's not his fault, but it's not like that's the guy that's going to go win the game, certainly. So it's just weird conjunction of two sides that don't have a ton of leverage and just makes this situation where nothing moves. And something's going to move in the next 4 days, I would say, next 5 days. Something is going to move. Everything that I've heard now, he's already asked to be traded, so maybe he's made his move. Again, you know, when John Lynch said that, we're not doing it, I just watched it. He said that about Debo at the end of last year. And when everyone knew they would, right? Everyone knew they were moving on from Debo, and he said, we're not training him. Well, you say that until you're ready to do it. But on this one, I don't know what they would get. I see an IR move or deactivation, or if it really comes down to it, if things really get bad, a suspension, which is what I think they were going to do to Ayuk last year if he didn't get the new deal and he refused to practice. So it's one of those three things, probably, with a release, you know, as the least likely of all that set, maybe a trade in there somewhere in that mix. But those are the things that are on the board, along with either him agreeing to come in with no new deal, which I don't think is real likely, or him getting 49ers giving him something on the back end, something that will make it okay for him to come in. They probably should, but, you know, I'm not spending their money. You know, a couple million here, $3-4 million, something where you can pretend it's more than that. I don't think that's happened, by the way. I don't think that offer has happened. Maybe that's what gets them in. It's gone down a far road, though, and I think the 49ers might be actually a reverse on this. They're so mad, they might be less willing to do that now than they would have been 2 weeks ago because they wanted them practicing. Like, they wanted them in camp. They wanted this to be a nice, happy camp as opposed to what they had last year. That didn't really happen because of Juwan. I don't think they're real thrilled about it. I think we saw it on their faces yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. Tim Kawakami with us. Tim, here's what I would say if Drew Rosenhaus's agent was sitting in front of me, which is, what is your end game? In other words, like, I mean, is Juwan actually willing to miss games starting next week? It doesn't feel like he's in position to do that.
Yeah, I don't know that this is a Drew Rosenhaus-driven thing. You know, he's the agent. He's had a good relationship with the 49ers. I think, you know, he understands that his client probably has earned more money, so he's asking for it. I don't know that we haven't heard this rattling from him except for that one shot in at the ESPN that he wants a new deal or he'll ask to be traded. They've asked to be traded. But beyond that, we haven't heard this stuff that you usually hear with Drew. So I think this is more Juwan, if you ask me, and that's okay. It's his right. It's his right to play it out as hard as he can. So I don't know that it's Drew Rosenhaus thinking this. I think it's Juwan Jennings saying, I'm a $25 million a year player. Probably, you know, he was last year. Will he be in the future? Do the 49ers have to pay for last year? No, but you get some of the logic there, and they're going to desperately need a receiver while Ayuk is coming back, while DeMarcus Robinson is suspended. Or it's a bet against Ricky Pearsall in Juwan's mind. But I think this is, if you ask me, again, I don't know, but if you ask me, knowing how Drew has operated and knowing that he's had, he was Frank Gore's agent. 49ers have a really good, I should say really good, have a solid relationship with Drew Rosenhaus. They really haven't gone to the wire with him. I don't know that it's him. I think this is a player-driven situation, and it might be up to the player to figure out how he gets back in. Because you're right, he does not win by not getting game checks. He does not make himself a better free agent at the end of the season by missing games or by being a malcontent or by skipping practice. The other thing, though, is he's 28. At the end of this year, when he goes into the offseason, he's going to be 29. And those are not the greatest years to go in to market as a free agent as a wide receiver. So it might be now or never, and I do think that's part of Jennings' position and maybe Rosenhaus's too. This is it. This is when he's going to get it or not, and he might not get it, but I don't think he's going to be in a better situation even if he plays out the season when he's 29. It's just the reality of NFL life sometimes.
Yeah, and it's a tough spot because he just got his deal last year, and I don't even know, Tim, we've heard about incentives on this deal, and then we heard there's no incentives. What exactly would he be playing for if he shows up and plays football for the Niners?
Yeah, it's game checks for sure. If you get suspended, then you don't get game checks. Otherwise, it's very confusing. And I might have added to it, or a spot rack ad, because they had him listed as getting, being able to get more incentives if he could. But as John Lynch said, that was last year. He already hit them last year. So it's bizarre. He does have game bonuses. They're not huge. It's like for a total of about $800,000. Now, that's not nothing, but he does have game bonuses that he would not qualify for if he's not on the roster each week. There is some weird little thing that this option bonus, $3.4 million that he qualified for last year by hitting those numbers, is paid on September 1. It is guaranteed money, so it's going to him at some point. But if the 49ers trade him before, that's coming up, or that's Monday, then that cap hit doesn't go on their books. It goes to the traded team's books. I'm the one saying I don't think a trade's happening, but that, just watch that. I'm aware of that. There's this weird language in there, and we know how sharp 49ers are on this stuff. The wording in there is very interesting. So be aware of that. I am aware of that. I don't expect a trade to happen, but if it does, understand that September 1, that's Monday, might be the deadline for that specific thing. I don't think they want to trade him. I think they want him on the team. They just want him at the number they've got him at, and they don't want to go anywhere close to the number he wants to be at. This is ticking down. I thought it might be over by now, but I think there is enough feeling in there that they can figure this out and get him on the field early in the season, and it's worth it to them. That they haven't decided to take the nuclear option yet. It might be coming pretty soon, though.
Tim, speaking of trades, do you think the 49ers made a call on Micah Parsons?
Yeah, I almost tweeted that. I bet you they did, you know, just to see. I don't think the Cowboys were too interested in doing that, and the 49ers are not too interested in paying $47 million a year, by the way, so that might have been a problematic situation for them. Already into Bosa for 34, and then what do you tell Bosa at that point? You probably have to tell Bosa, here's another 47 for you. So I don't know that it was realistic, but, you know, they probably just said, hey, would you want Juwan Jennings for, you know, and what else? You know, they make that call. I'm not saying they would have thought it was serious, but, you know, you make the call to see if you can do it. I really, you know, I didn't tweet it out there because, it's not realistic, but you make the call. You have the cap room. Michael Parsons is 26 years old, you know. Who would at least make the call? People get mad when I say things like that, especially with the Warriors. But you make the call, right? If you don't make the call, then you don't have Kevin Durant on your team at that point, or Jimmy Butler. You know, you make the call. They weren't going to get him. I don't know how in the world they could have done it. You know, it would have taken some things that they didn't have. But again, I always have this fear of aggregation when I'm just talking, but. I picture they would have said, hey, you want Brandon Ayuk? You might have had that conversation. But, yeah, if you're Cowboys, you're not doing that. You're doing it for what you did for the Packers. So, yeah. But, yes, funny that you should ask me, because it was on my mind. Like, they might just throw a call out there and say, what would it take? And then they would have said, okay, I guess we can't do it. Thank you very much. And happy times to him in Green Bay.
Yeah, and the aggregation from this conversation is Kawakami says Ayuk to Parsons swap was discussed, which of course is not at all what you said. But
that's a Dibley special. Why don't you get aggregated every once
in a while? I'm too busy stealing from other people. I'm too busy taking your stuff, Tim, and using it for my my own devices. Seriously, though, if you're another team and you see what Green Bay had to give up, two firsts and a player, you'd be kicking yourself. Are you stunned that the Cowboys didn't do better in this trade?
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrible trade. Let me say that. I'm not stunned that's the trade you get now. But really, that's the trade you do now, because teams don't. It's a limited field of what's available. You got to have the cap space. You got to be ready to do it. You got to feel like you're a contender right now. It's the same thing that I thought the Raider trade Khalil Mack to the Bears was stupid, because you limited the field. You do it at the draft, everybody's in on it, right? It's a bidding war because everybody can create cap space or has cap space, can imagine it. You get the picks. You can put the pick right in there and draft the person. You know what spot it is. It's just so much easier and better to do it if you're the trading team in April. Well, the Cowboys and the Raiders at the time weren't smart enough to do that. So 2-1s is about what you're going to get. Teams aren't trading 3-1s. For anybody, unlike the 49ers, for Trey Lance. But that was April, right? That was March, actually. So yep. I'm not surprised it was a bad deal, but it was a bad deal. It's at any point you get yourself in that situation, it's usually going to be a bad deal for one of the greatest players in football, and he is at 26. So do I think it was an incredible trade for the Packers? Absolutely. Am I flashing back to when they acquired Reggie White and got the Super Bowl title? Yes. But, man, you get backed into this sort of situation, you very rarely get a good deal. You know, it's like the 49ers with Ayuk last year. They didn't make a trade. Of all these reports that they were going to make a trade, they didn't, because they weren't offered very much. They really weren't. And, you know, at some point, you just want to keep the good player if you're a smart team. It didn't work out great for the 49ers. Maybe it will down the road. But if you're in this spot, if you've screwed up so badly, I almost said a bad word there. I'm glad I caught myself.
Oh, nice.
Then I thought I was on a podcast for a second.
Go for it, Tim. We got
you. You're going to make a bad trade. Like, this is, you're going to make a bad trade. It's the way it goes. So, yeah, would the 49ers love to give up two first-round picks for Michael Parsons? If they could have, they would have, but he can't do it now. It's like, it's really hard to do it now. The Packers were just set up to do it. But I don't think the 49ers, you know, would have been at all upset if Michael Parsons ended up in the AFC. You know, he's got to go from the Cowboys to the Packers, and if you're the 49ers, you think you're going to have a good season, you're probably going to have to go to the Packers at some point. You got to deal with number 11. And then number 11 was tough on him in that playoff game when they won, right? They beat the Cowboys, but it was hard to block that guy. I mean, they came out of that one going, that was rough. And they might see him again if they are playing into January. And I don't think anybody wants to see that guy on the side of the field.
Tim, real quick, if I take away the wide receiver room, what's your biggest concern for the Niners this year?
You know, they got a bunch of them. I'd say how the offensive line holds up. Now, that's, Kyle Shanahan would disagree with me, and we've had this debate several times. They think their offensive line is fine. I think it's under-talented. And, man, if you lose Trent Williams, I don't know what you're going to do. We've seen it before. It's just the, you know, it generates a lot of things if they can run the ball. And if you can't block for the run, you can't block for the pass, you're going to be in some trouble. But they're pretty confident about it. They just haven't invested a lot in it. But we'll see. I think if the offensive line breaks down, then a lot of things just blow to pieces. Now, I'll put McCaffrey in there. I've just kind of stopped talking about McCaffrey because we just don't know. You know, we didn't know he was going to be hurt going into week one last year, and then he was. I just kind of put him to the side. Obviously, incredibly important player. Red zone, you know, they had so much trouble scoring touchdowns last year. He scores touchdowns. He helps you in all facets. He helps Purdy. He helps the defense. I almost put that aside. I'll just say offensive line because I think it's under-talented, but it's coached well, and they can get by with them. They've had good offenses with this level of talent. They got to the Super Bowl playing all sorts of guys that aren't Pro Bowl players. But other than receivers, if you're betting that the young defensive linemen are good, and we'll see. We'll see if they're still healthy. I think Mykal Williams is going to be very good. I'll say offensive line, just the level of talent doesn't seem to be, you know, it's certainly risking a lot if you lose Trent Williams, and if you lose, you know, even if you lose like a Ben Bartsch, you know, who is certainly not a Pro Bowl player, but they're counting on him. If Pooney's hurt now, if he can't make it back for week one, they're going to have a lot of question marks. They don't like hearing it, and they will argue about it all day long if you ask. But I think that is a potential problem area for them. I still think it is. I would have just been drafting tackles like every year, and they don't believe in that. They just don't believe in that. I respect that they don't believe in it. I respect that they have not fallen apart because they coach them well and they know what they're doing. But at some point, they might. And the level of depth is just not there when you have a couple injuries. Now, that you can say that about every position and every team in football, but that one, I would say, watch out a little bit there. And also, I might say the kicker, but we talk a lot about the kicker. So that's
exactly. Yeah. Tim, great stuff. We thank you, and we'll see you on Twitter after Dibs' tweet.
Yeah, Dibs, go knock them dead. The aggregators are lining up for the Dibs report.
Cal will call me down on O-line.
No, Dibs. Dibs says. It can't be me. It's Dibs. Dibs,
yeah,
report.
The tweet's already been composed. Enjoy the responses.
It is draft. All right, Dibs is going to get blocked at 5:05 by Tim. Tim, thank you very much. Tim Calcami, SF Stand.